Thank you very much, Saba. Sorry, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This is the Jazz Call on Tuesday, the 29th of March. And on the call, we have Carlton Samuels, Rafik Damak, Tijani Benjamin, Sebastian Bachelot, Alan Greenberg, Evan Lebovich, Dev Anand, Olivier Terexin, yes, sorry, Olivier Crepin Leblanc, Andrew Mack, and for staff we have Carlo Valente and Gisela Gruber White and Glenda Saint-Jury, myself. We have apologies from Tony Harris, Alex Kukuru, Bodwan Shombi, Carlos Seguira, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Michele Nilon, and Dave Kisundoyel. Have I left anybody off?
I don't think so. Excellent.
May I ask you please to say your name before you speak for transcription purposes? Thank you very much, and over to you, Rafik and Carlton.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you for everybody for attending this Tuesday call. So let's start by everybody agree with the agenda which is shown in the Adobe Connect. Okay, so hearing no objection, we can go to the item 2, which is about the small working to clarify, to get clarification from CAC in regard to its comment. I think it's Andrew is in the call. Maybe he can give a small report. I am with him in that small team, and we started the discussion during this weekend. Andrew, it's up to you.
Rafik, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. The line isn't very good. Can you, what would you like me to say? What are we talking about here?
Just we try to give a short report to the working group about what we did this weekend in regard to the question that we should.
Oh, okay, sure. Well, I will do my best, and then please jump in and add if you'd like. Okay. What we tried to do after our call was to come up with some questions that would be appropriate to send back to the GAC and to clarify as much as possible what we were looking for and what we were hoping for their inputs on potentially and what we were not hoping for. And so we made an effort to try to clarify that a little bit. And I worked with Cintra on some language to send back, I think what we all agreed was that we didn't want to get sidetracked too much because this is an issue that we had talked about a fair amount in the past about whether or not to involve governments and some of the complications that were in that. And we went forward trying to look at, where there were what kind of questions were the best ones to ask them and to try to keep the conversation as precise as possible. What else, Rafik? What more would you like me to say?
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, I think you summarized all the points. And also I think that Ellen sent a request if we have a pool to ask if we are going to open the issue or not. I think it's Carlton, you suggested that in the last call, but I'm not sure when we should do that.
I mean, I think the one thing that we agreed with is that this conversation shouldn't keep us from moving forward in other areas, and we didn't want the GAC or anyone else to be of the impression that this is an issue that we felt that we needed to solve before the time our report is due. Correct?
This is Carlton. Correct, Andrew. That was my impression. At least my caution was to make sure that the GAC understands that while we are seeking clarification, this in no way impede forward movement on the things that we have committed to do.
Yeah. I think so. We have Tijani in the queue. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I am sorry, Andrew. There is a big echo in your room, and I didn't understand very well what you said. So can someone tell me very briefly what is the result of this consultation with the with people from the GAC?
We didn't contact them yet. We are working. That's one thing, we are working on the questions that we should send to the GAC. And so, we anyway, I think we will send them to the working group to ask for feedback. But we didn't contact the GAC yet.
So you are preparing something to send to the GAC, that's it?
Yes, as agreed in the last call.
Okay, very well. So shall we see it before it will be sent?
Yeah, I think you can
Thank
trust
you.
Us for
Thank
that.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, any other comments about that? Okay.
A question, repeat, if I could.
Andrew, please go ahead. Just to,
The question that Elaine mentioned, this idea of whether or not we're going to put this to a vote, have we decided about how we're going to handle that?
I think it was an idea of Carter. Maybe he can give more clarification about that.
This is Carlton. Thank you, Rafiq. The idea was that we get the questions together based within the context of what we want to, how we want to steer it. We put it to the members. The members will see whether the questions are, comply with our objective. And if they don't, we go back to the drawing board, or we change them in ways that make the objective very clear. I tend to shy away from voting on these matters because these are procedural matters. It makes sense for us to talk it out as quickly as possible. That is, but even at that point, I think we should get a sense of what the meeting. Would like what the working group would like without a formal vote. Thank you.
Ellen, please go ahead.
Hi. Yes. So it was my understanding that we were going to determine if there was any consensus in the working group in to provide support to any sorts of government. We have been working on developing these questions in the meantime, but it doesn't make any sense to me at all to not ask that initial question in the first place. Thanks.
Thank you, Adam. Any response to that?
This is Carlson. Can I join there? Let me say this. I would wish for us to consider whether or not it is not likely, and it would not be appropriate for such an entity to attract support. I can think of groups or combinations of groups, and my father, well, they call them public-private partnerships, in which parties that are separate. One could be a government agency, or one could be the government, and a private party, private individuals, get together towards an objective. That objective could be establishing a TLD. If such a partnership existed in which the government is clearly a partner with a private entity, I would not wish for us to close the possibility of such an entity gaining support through this process. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. I could envision where such a partnership may, in fact, propose multiple scripts as part of a strategic approach to TLDs. So you could have, in lots of societies in the world, there are two functioning languages. Typically, the elites speak one of the top languages, Romance languages, and regular people speak another, maybe in combination, because that is the way you're going to reach the objective of improving connectivity, improving access to the wider group. They may, in fact, be able to propose joint TLDs. It may require a public-private partnership. And therefore, I think this group should at least extend its mind to the idea that you might have such combinations worthy of support.
Okay, thank you, Carlton. Elaine, please go ahead.
Thanks. So, Carlton, did I just hear you say that if it was a government in partnership with another party, that would be a group that you'd be willing to provide support to if they had need? Is that what you just said?
It's not the parties that I'm concerned about. It's the objective. My objective is to extend access to disadvantaged groups. And the sponsorship, so long as the sponsorship groups shows need, then the combination of the sponsors, to me, is secondary. It is the objective that I am most concerned about. And therefore, I would want to, I am suggesting to this group that such combinations may, in fact, happen. And you would not wish to proscribe them, nor would you wish to discriminate against them so long as they show need.
May I respond?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so I understand that because in many cases we're seeing cities putting out RFPs to registries, service providers, where there will be some sort of partnership where the city itself will actually apply for the top-level domain, but the registry service company will do the work. So that would be a partnership. What I am not understanding is if our core principle is need, then are you saying that you want the core principle to be whether or not it provides a service to the community rather than need?
The core principle to determine application support is need. But the strategic objective is access to the underserved and those at the edge that are not. That's the public policy principle, if I can use the term. That is the reason why ACAD is involved and interested. It's not just about need. That's just one way to get them in the game. The objective of all of this is to extend access to the underserved and those on the edges. That is the objective, as I understand it. And there's a process that costs money that some of them might not be able to do. And if I can believe that access would be denied, to groups that are inherently in need of access for one reason or other, then they would devise this program to fit in this process. That's my understanding of it. I don't wish for us to lose sight of why we're doing this. We're not doing this just because of need. We're doing this because there is a public policy objective, getting people underserved and underrepresented access to the Internet.
Okay. Just a think we are running. We have Andrew, but just to remember that we are running out of time for this item. Andrew, please go ahead.
Yes, Rafiq, can you hear me?
Yeah, it's okay.
My apologies to everyone. The line is bad. I tried to do on Skype. I'm in Paris. Yep, here we go. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if this comes through better. Hello?
Yeah, Andrew, we can hear you, yeah.
Just 1 second. Okay, thank you. I'm just going to join you in the other line.
Okay.
We're running on the timeline there, Rafiq.
Okay, yeah. Any further comments about this item? Anyway, we need to... Okay, Andrew, please go ahead.
Okay. First of all my apologies for the echo of the room. I think I've gotten it sorted out. What I wanted to say is that I agree with Carlson. I think we need to keep our eye on the big picture here. And the application is a part of the big picture, but it is not it's not all of the big picture. It's not the end in itself. I don't think it's a choice between one or the other, but in fact, that both of them are parts of the same coin. And what Carl just said, I think is spot on, correct. Thanks.
Yes, you can hear me. Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, Andrew. Okay. Just check.
Rafiq, you heard what I just said, yeah?
Yeah, just I had some phone problems, that's why I was checking. Okay, so if I summarize what I heard and what I understood, I think that we need to focus that we have a comment from the GAC and we need to work on this question and then to check that with the working group before sending them. This is not going to halt the working group from working. But just about the discussion between Ellen and Carlton, I think that the main issue was that can we define governmental or pre-statal applicant as a needy applicant or not? And then we had some discussion before that we need to work what kind of level of government we can see as needy. I think there is some consensus that a governmental, a national government applicant cannot really be subject for support, but we are working on that. So maybe we can move to the next item, and that small team formed by Andrew, Ellen, and me will continue to work and to work on the question, and then we will send them to the working group. Any objection to that? Can you hear me or not?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, thank you. So, yes, I don't, there is no objection. We can move to the next item to discuss about the criteria definition, which is really the main part that we need to work on these days. We had some discussion, I think, really long discussion in the mailing list, but okay. So, Jenny, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I see on the agenda, C, working group wiki. I go to the wiki and nothing is written else other than what was there before San Francisco. So there is a problem of language production. And I do think that we need to go ahead in this with this. The problem, I think, is that Avery is in Geneva for the CSTD meeting, and perhaps it's for that she is not here, and she didn't provide the compilation that we spoke about in San Francisco. It is very important to produce language. Discussing will not give us anything. We have to write something and discuss on what is written. That's how we will manage to do the work.
Yes, I agree. But as you know, it's the work team in the EP, and you are the leader. Maybe you can give Avery more. You give her your feedback or comments, then she can write it to make her work more easily. So I know that
I did, Rafik, but I think she is busy in Geneva, that's why. That's all.
Okay, this is Carlton. Can I suggest that we agree that Avery would be the main scribe in this, and it works because it tends to refine the language much easier, and so on. There are a host of good reasons why one main scribe might be the most efficient way of getting this about. But in the absence of Avery, the wiki does allow comments, and the expectation was that members who had additional refinements or additional criteria to add to the ones that are there would have intervened directly on the wiki by commenting. So might I suggest that if we see that there is stuff that we want to say or refine or add, please add them as comments, and then when Avery is back in the saddle, she will make the final adjustments to the working page. I quite agree, Tijani, that working from written text is much better than just talking about it.
And that was my proposal now. What I meant by my intervention is that people comment on the already existing language,
right,
so that Avery can compile.
Okay, that was one of the encouraged people to work on the wikis and so on. And I'm not sure, maybe some people don't feel comfortable to work with the new version of the wiki, the conference, but anyway, just maybe we try. We have those discussions in the mailing list if we can. At some level to summarize them and to put them as a comment in the wiki, then it can make the work more easily and we can foster the discussion. So it's because sometimes you have a thread of many emails that it's not easy to follow and to track. Maybe we can, if we have some question about criteria definition, we can work on them now. And just after that, if Carla, can you take some notes? And then we can put them as a comment in the wiki. Does it make sense?
Sure.
Okay. So, as we have Cynthia and Jenny on the call, maybe if they have some specific question for the work team, we can try to discuss them and get the feedback that that Carla will take as notes and then to put in the wiki. Jenny or Peter, someone who wants to volunteer for that?
I think that this question of criteria has been discussed a lot of times, and also in San Francisco we discussed it. So now I don't know if someone has something to add, because there is a proposal here, and nobody objects to this proposal except some refinement, some changes. But if there is addition, it will be very good.
Okay, Cintra. So, if there is any really specific question, and I understand that we discussed a lot, but any specific question about specific points that maybe we can answer to it now.
The question I have in mind have been answered by some people, but if the whole working group can answer it, it would be good. For the body who will check the criteria, the consensus with people who discussed with me about it is that this body having to be inside ICANN. Is it the opinion of the whole work team member, working group member?
Okay.
This is Carlton. Does everyone understand the question that Tijani is asking? It is a very important question to process.
So the question is whether or not this sits within ICANN? Maybe I'm not understanding the question.
I repeat the question. Does the body that will check the criteria we are setting have to be inside a part of ICANN or outside ICANN?
Hi, to Jenny. Okay. This is Evan.
Right. Yes, Evan.
Evan. Who does the mechanics of the evaluation is one thing, and I imagine there's certain business processes that can be outsourced. But the overall management of the criteria and the management of the program, is there any reason to even consider that not being an ICANN role?
You are asking a question, Evan?
Yes, to anyone who wants to answer.
Just to organize. We have a question from Evan to the whole working group, but also we have in the queue Dev and Evan. So if someone wants to replay to answer the question of Evan,
this is Carlton, and the question answer to Evan. This is exactly how I see it, Evan, and I don't see any rational reason why it has to be outside of ICANN. I can't conceive of it being outside of ICANN.
Okay. We have Dev and then Evan. Dev, please go ahead. Dev? Is Dev on the call? Okay. Waiting for Dev. We can go to Ilan and then to Alan. Ilan, please go ahead.
Okay. So I think maybe we need to narrow down the question a little bit.
in that the entire program is developed by ICANN. The actual processes have been developed by ICANN staff. The evaluation of all of the criteria will be done by outside evaluators, not by ICANN staff. So are you asking, will we have ICANN staff looking at our criteria and affirming our applicants, or are you asking if that process itself will be developed by ICANN?
Okay, we have Alan. Alan, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm getting a little confused here. To the extent that we're talking about programs that ICANN is going to administer, you know, lowering the fees or you know, changing the terms, then ICANN is going to be doing it. Whether ICANN outsources it or not is moot, as far as I'm concerned. We have also been talking about parts of our overall recommendations which suggest we get outside funders involved, and the evaluation with respect to those, to the extent they use any criteria we define, obviously is going to be done by them. So I think the answer depends on what part of the program we're talking about, but I don't think there's any question in my mind anyway, that to the extent that ICANN is going to be administering parts of this program itself, should it choose to, that ICANN is responsible. It's not, you know, ICANN will almost surely outsource parts of it if it goes ahead and does that. Thank you.
Thanks. Is Dave unmuted now?
This is Dave. Are you hearing me?
Please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that. And this is Dave. On page 79 of the applicant guidebook, it says that ICANN will be selecting qualified third-party providers to perform the various reviews and for all the different that will do the stability review, contention string, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it seems to be that this is how ICANN is going to approach it, and apparently they sent out an expression of interest to such providers in late 2009, and already have gotten several responses to that. And I've just posted the link there a link to that document. So I imagine whatever our review team panel that will evaluate an applicant, whether it requires support, would either be one of these third-party providers or would most likely be a third-party provider, given how ICANN has chosen to implement the providers, the evaluators, I should say.
Thanks, Dave. Any comment to that? Evan, does this answer your question?
I guess. I mean, essentially, you know, the question of to what extent ICANN does things. I mean, here we are doing policy. Once the policy, well, not even policy, we're doing implementation criteria. Policy is done by GNSO. We're here to sort of try and nail that down into something that will, you know, provide a set of guidelines and criteria and things like that. Once that's done, you know, if ICANN is going to subcontract out some of the actual, you know, look at the paperwork and see if they meet the criteria, I don't think that's going to be a huge problem. Or is, you know, is that the point of this question or what I'm answering?
This is Carlton. This is precisely what I'm saying. It's an agency agreement. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the people are acting as agents for ICANN anyway. If pay for them or whatever. But the point is that the process itself and the way, the mechanics of it, is handled and maintained by ICANN, that they have people bring in under their sponsorship and auspices to do the work, that to me is a detail. They are still going to be accountable and responsible for it.
Yeah, I agree. Anyway, I'm sorry I have to leave for a doctor's appointment, but I'll try and monitor otherwise. Anyway.
Safe travels.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, any further comment on that? Okay, I think that we have some ideas about that that question that will be put as a comment in the wiki, and Avery is on the call, so she will later use those comments to update, etc. Okay, and Jenny or Cynthia, do you have any other questions that we need clarification?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Tijani?
Yes.
Sorry, Rafik. Might I suggest that you, now that Avery has joined the call, might I suggest that you repeat your...
I can go back and listen to the recording.
Oh, okay. That you could do that too, yes, thanks. Not to worry.
I think as we have Avery now on the call, maybe we can move to the next item about the process. Okay, having no objection, so we can move to
Before we do that, can I ask a question? I am still very much would like to know whether or not that we have a set of criteria, and we expect that each criterion will is subject to refinement and so on. But the general question: do we believe that this set of criteria is all that is needed to make a qualification? This is to the group.
Which set of criteria is that?
There's a set of criteria on about qualification of selection criteria. We already have some.
Is that, can that get posted on the Adobe, please?
They are on the wiki page. I don't... I'm not where I can, but at least my systems don't allow me to do it quickly.
Would you put a link into the chat to the wiki for me then?
I will put the link.
I think it's there already.
Okay.
The point Tijani was making is appropriate to emphasize here. We have a wiki page in which we're working. There's lots of discussions back and forth about refinement of the list and so on. The idea was that we've agreed to be kind of the scribe that pulls it all together and keep a clean copy, as it were. But we are also recommending that those of you who have refinements to existing criteria or want to add, you add them as notes on the wiki, where Avery will see them and through our good office is try to sort them out in some semblance of fashion that we all can follow. And my question is again, I am keen to see this set of criteria settled. And the question is, do we have further refinements to what exists now? And do we have additional ones that we would wish to propose? Back to you, Rafik, sorry.
Okay, that's which one I think we have Dennis in the queue. Yes.
This is the, thank you. Sorry, I was unmuting myself. Thank you.
Okay.
I do have a question, though, because I was reviewing the initial process, looking at how the applications are submitted and so forth. And my question is this. Can an applicant, just to step back a bit, the way the system works, the applicant becomes a registered user of the application system or the TAS, and then at the time of when they register, they can indicate how many slots or how many GTLD slots this user is applying for. My question is this. Can an applicant ask for support for one GTLD application and at the same time submit another GTLD application not requiring support? And I hope my question is clear on that. In other words, is the needy support evaluated in the application for the GTLD, or is the needy support applied solely on the applicant itself?
Good question.
Hi, this is Carla speaking. So the system and the evaluation, the way we are designing it right now, looks at every single TOD application. So I'm making an assumption that probably, you know, as the application is entered into the system, it's going to be evaluated individually per string.
Okay, this is Dave. Well, just to quickly follow up with that, then the criteria here, you know, speaks of how we evaluate the applicant as well as the entity by itself, and less on the application process. So there's, a decision to be made as how we either refine the criteria or, you know, I'll stop and ask see if anybody else has any other comments on it.
Can we be back to the list?
Okay, yeah. We have Cynthia and then Sebastian.
Right. I have two comments with regard to the criteria. You hear me?
Yep.
Okay. With regard to the criteria, I think we do need to include something specific for IDNs so that where an applicant may be applying for support but is also applying in different IDN languages, that we can maybe give more weight to that application, right? The second point with regard to Dev's query, I think in a sense he's mixing both processes. Our criteria is almost a pre-step to the draft application guidebook process. So first we will evaluate whether or not this applicant is needy or not, right? Before they even get to the DAG stage or the full GTLD application stage. So while we may leverage on some of the internal processes and those staff members or whatever carrying out those functions, it is two separate trains. So for instance, and certainly this will come out when we do the flow chart. So if an applicant wishes to apply as a needy applicant, they will first go through our criteria process and then jump into the DAG train. Thank you.
Thanks, Cynthia. We have Sebastian. Please, Sebastian, go ahead.
Thank you, Sebastian. Just to say one additional point to what Cynthia just said, we don't want to have the evaluation for needy application. We need to have evaluation from the applicants, and it's completely another process than the one we will be taken during the application itself process. And one of the reasons, from my point of view, it's very clear that we didn't take the we don't want to have a process where some projects are put into public if they don't want. There are some risks there, and then we need just to have the applicants and not the application. Thank you.
Thanks, Sebastian. Okay. I lose the access to the Adobe Connect, so I don't...
Avery's next on the list.
Okay. Avery, please go ahead.
Yeah, I obviously haven't followed some of the earlier conversation, and I apologize for being late. It would occur to me, though, any sort of criteria we had for an applicant which looked at their capability, if it's all that they had the capability to do another application, then that should be able, I mean, there should be the capability in that process to disqualify them. Because if they can afford another one, then they obviously, you know, are not as needy as somebody that can't afford any. Now, that does bring up the problem of understanding and knowing that this applicant that you are reviewing for aid is not somebody who's showing up somewhere else under a different name or under a different corporate structure, and I'm not quite sure exactly how one handles that other than, you know, swearing it's not the case and then having them arrested for fraud if it is. But, you know, it would strike me that if you could afford to apply for a full application, then you aren't needy. Thanks.
Okay. Central, please go ahead.
I think her hand is up from the last time. I don't think she has any.
Oh, okay. So, any further comments?
Well, this is Dave. Okay.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well... okay, and the reason why I was trying to ask this question one is because the way the flowchart for how they do the evaluation is it's published in the applicant guidebook, and I was trying to figure out how it would work. Again, how the system is drafted is that the applicant registers as a TAS under the TLD application system. And then pays when the application period is opened for, you know, new submissions, then they pay a fee for each application slot. So that's why that question came up to me, in my mind, about whether an applicant can do both, you know, an application that requires needy, that is, requires, I should say, support, not needy, requires support, and one that does not. The reason why I ask this is because at what point do we evaluate the applicant? And in my mind, it seems to be that you have to, from a process point of view, you have to make the evaluation when they become a registered user of the TLD application system. Because during that application system, they could say, I am an applicant requiring support. And then we start applying the criteria and ensure that questions are asked that, you know, do they meet this following criteria, A, B, C, D, E, whatever, and so forth, rather than when you have the evaluation later on in the application process. That's my comment question.
Hello?
Yes,
Dustin?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
It seems that he doesn't tell
me. Uh-oh, he said his line is dropped. This is Dave.
Okay,
dial him back.
Okay, yeah, he said that, yeah. Dev, you want to comment or your hand is still...
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll put my hand down. Sorry.
Because we have...
Here, any comments?
Sintra and Alan. No, Sintra, Ellen, and Alan. Sintra?
Hi. I just wanted to respond to Dean's query.
Just a comment, Sintra, please. Please, everybody,
Hello?
Keep short because we are running out of time. So, please go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rafik, I didn't hear you clearly.
Oh, yeah, just please go ahead, yeah.
Okay. All right. So there will be some areas that will be processed by the DAG process, and those areas we do need to evaluate so that we don't end up doing the same with twice, right? And I will be happy to go through that with Dave, and we'll come up with a flowchart together, right, that the entire group can evaluate. The other two points I wanted to make is, I don't know if everybody got a chance to look at my proposal for insurance. I don't know if the group thinks that it makes sense given the response I was on the list. I don't know if we have time to spend maybe 2 minutes talking about that. Thank you.
Thanks. Ellen?
Thanks. So just in response to Dad's comment about when we would look at it, I think when they actually put the name into the TAS system should be the very last point. To me, if I were the applicant, I would want to know if I was going to qualify for any support before I even went through that process, committed any initial money or resources at all. So if there's any way at all that we can decouple that, the actual identification of an applicant and qualification from the TAS system, I think that would be best.
Thanks. Alan?
I think Elaine's point she has made is a relevant one. Back to the original question that Dev raised, I don't think we care to a large extent how the process runs. If we're specifying that certain issues are applicant criteria as opposed to application criteria, then we need to specify that. With the exception of Elaine's comment, exactly how these processes are handled and what the overall flow is, I don't think is our concern. If, however, as Elaine mentioned, we believe it's important that the overall applicant be evaluated based on certain criteria and that be done before they commit any money, then we should say so. To be honest, I don't think ICANN will accept that. There's going to have to be some money committed at some point. But I think we need to specify what our criteria are, and what the overall requirements are for what we believe is necessary for the evaluation, and not agonize over the exact order it's done or where in the flowchart it fits. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. I'm seeing that Sintra is proposed to work with Dev and to produce a flowchart to present to the group. I'm not sure. Maybe Avi is also working on that. So are we going to have to...
I'm not working on anything at the moment.
No, nothing? Okay.
No,
so we have just one.
Right. Just to fill in, since I was late on that and since the time is up, I, have a lot to catch up on. I was insane when I said I would do this. I'm unfortunately under a lot of work that's actually paying me at the moment, so I will get to it. But I figure you guys have to make all the decisions first before I write it down anyhow, but I haven't done anything.
No problem, Avery. Even if we have one or two proposals, it will be okay. So just we will wait for Shinta and their proposal, and then you can catch up later, if you can. Okay. Is there any further comment? Because we are running out of time, and so if I don't hear any objections, I think we can adjourn this call for today. And thanks for everybody for attending. And I think we need to do updates a week anyway. So we had a lot of discussion, the many is, but it's better to update the wiki to have more substantive content. Okay. Hearing not, so we can adjourn this call for today. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Take care. Well.
Go ahead.